And good morning. Sorry for that horribly abrupt closing. I tried to achieve the opposite, smooth transitions, but not so easy. I have to learn this bleeping board. That's the name, by the way, of the model that we use here. That it says right on it, bleeping board. But we were talking about that at a meeting yesterday, in fact. But, yeah, I've been an engineer here, what, 46, 47 years? I can't run this thing. I was chief engineer for 5 years. I did not chief engineer, chief announcer, God help me. The job Michael Haskins has. Okay, look. It's a Bowie morning. My intention is to talk as little as possible, but we do have a movie review for you, and we're going to go out of that. I will then talk about Bowie for about 2 minutes, and then it's music, which is what it should all be. So first, here is, without Hour of the Wolf theme, there won't be one this morning, Dan Persons. He'll introduce himself.
I'm Dan Persons, movie reviewer for Hour of the Wolf. Let's play 6 Degrees of Charlie Kaufman, shall we? Because we've got 3 animated films to talk about, and weirdly, they all connect in some way to the guy who wrote Being John Malkovich, The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, and other comically intellectual flirtations with genre film. The obvious starting point here is Anomalisa, a stop-motion animated film that Kaufman wrote and co-directed along with Duke Johnson, which I interpret to mean that Kaufman handled the voice directing, while Johnson took care of the elaborate and quite nuanced performances of the stop-motion figures. Which doesn't mean that Kaufman's credit should be discounted, because the film's main conceit relies on the voice performances. The story is incredibly basic. A world-weary motivational speaker travels to Cincinnati to deliver an address, and during his overnight stay in a hotel, falls in love with one of the attendees. The trick here is that the motivational speaker, Michael, is voiced by David Thewlis. His object of adoration, Lisa, is voiced by Jennifer Jason Leigh. And every other character, male and female, whether stranger or loved one, is voiced by Tom Noonan, with only subtle variations from one character to the next. So the anomaly of Anomalisa works on several levels. For Michael, Lisa's voice elevates her over the deadened perspective he has on his life and the world in general, spurring his infatuation. But Lisa, despite a scarred face concealed by a shock of hair, is, as a person, hardly anomalous herself. She's shy, self-denigrating, awkward personally and physically, naive in her tastes and attitudes, and Michael's exaltation of her despite her overall banality is supposed to be the film's supreme gag. It's frankly an elitist attitude, and much as I hate using that word, it's thrown around far too much, I think, it does feel like a neighborhood Kaufman is very comfortable in. To be fair, Michael, with his pathological dissatisfaction with everything, ends up the eventual butt of the joke, culminating in a stunningly staged sequence where he breaks down while delivering his stock speech. Duke Johnson's character animation is fantastic here, and throughout the film, actually, while Lisa is ultimately ennobled by her ability to delight in life. But I wind up where I frequently am with Charlie Kaufman's work, annoyed at this kind of intellectual, condescending classism. What redeems the film is Kaufman's razor-sharp, deadpan humor, which seems perfectly attuned to the technical demands of stop-motion animation, and the experimental feel of the production, with the seams of the replacement animation faces clearly visible and becoming a plot point in a couple of places, and a few bizarre narrative ellipses just to throw everything off-center. Anomalisa is a smaller story than I had anticipated. As befits a Kaufman character, Michael doesn't go through a narrative arc as much as a narrative straight line, but in its small-scale way, it is an engaging and at times heartbreaking experience. So, Given Charlie Kaufman's pedigree, Anomalisa is a prestige offering. But we're dealing with another prestige animated offering as well, if a belated one. Only Yesterday is out of Japan's Studio Ghibli and directed by Isao Takahata, who directed, among others, the devastating Grave of the Fireflies and the more recent and quite ravishing The Tale of the Princess Kaguya. Originally released in 1991, Only Yesterday tells the tale of a young woman, Taiko, voiced in the original by Miki Imai and in the dubbed version by Daisy Ridley, who decides to vacation by working on a farm while reminiscing about her childhood. It's a very grounded story, actually, with only a few moments of metaphorical fantasy, the best being when young Taiko takes flight after her first awkward flirtation with a male classmate. Otherwise, the film thrives on its deeply observed examination of the joys and anguishes of childhood. Standout episodes include Taiko's first taste of fresh pineapple and the tectonic sociological impact of sex education. And the film thrives as well on its lovely depiction of rural life. Maybe too lovely, actually, as befits a Studio Ghibli film, Only Yesterday exalts country over city, but here, in the absence of mystical forest guardians or shape-shifting tanukis, the paradisiacal outlook gets a little heavy. You can be forgiven for sitting and thinking, it can't all be this good. Nevertheless, Only Yesterday is lovely, it is touching, and it is great that it finally found its way to the U.S. Our final film, Hell and Back, is connected to Charlie Kaufman's Anomalisa not only through the fact that both films are stop-motion animated, but also because Anomalisa's producer, Dino Stamatopoulos, has previously worked with Hell and Back's studio Shadow Machine on such TV shows as Moral Oral and Mary Shelley's Frankenhole. Unfortunately, the animation is the major draw here. The production is beautiful, beautifully designed, and quite ambitious, if not as exquisitely nuanced. And it's a shame that it's all squandered on a bro comedy take on Orpheus, with two friends descending into hell to retrieve a third friend who's been snatched by Satan after he's welched on a bed involving a breath mint. That's right, a breath mint. It's got a hell of a voice cast, a comedy who's who that includes Nick Swardson, Mila Kunis, Maria Bamford, Bob Odenkirk, Paul F. Tompkins, Susan Sarandon, H. John Benjamin. But then, every animated project aspiring to an adult audience has H. John Benjamin. And it's got a few good running gags, such as a demon who tortures a damned soul with such low-grade torments as a slow escalator and a combined Taco Bell Pizza Hut that never has any Pizza Hut. I'm not sure anybody outside of New York and Los Angeles would get that joke. But every time the film lands on a promising idea, such as the condemned but level-headed bro being better at organizing hell than Satan himself, it's dropped for such unfortunate stuff as a truly unfunny running gag about Orpheus, yes, the actual Orpheus is a character, about Orpheus being raped by a tree. You can repeat it as many times as you want, it's never going to be funny. Breaks my heart because there's an impressive level of effort being put into Hell and Back. Shadow Machine is a very good animation studio, but it's in service of material that really doesn't deserve it. I'm Dan Persons. Remember, we are archiving these reviews over at my Mighty Movie Podcast website, so check out what you missed by going to mightymoviepodcast.com. Thank you.
got scars that can't be seen. I've got drama, can't be stolen. Everybody knows me now.
and you are tuned to WBAI in New York City, listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio, broadcasting at 99.5 FM. This program is Hour of the Wolf. My name is Jim Freund. For it just worked out that I did not have a guest scheduled for this week. Next week, Carlos Hernandez will be here to talk about his new collection of short stories. And the week after that, Rob Cameron and a group of Brooklyn science fiction writers of color and stuff will be talking about their new podcast website, all set in an alternate New York. And that should be a lot of fun. Then come February, fundraising. But we'll deal with that when we get to that. There'll be specials, there'll be preemptions, there'll be pairings, good stuff. So, I was so pleased last week when Catherine and Paulette played both Space Oddity and Starman Going Out. And I thought, you know, I haven't listened to Bowie in a long time. And then the next thing I knew came the announcement that Bowie had died at age 69, a young age. And I started looking through. I knew I would do some kind of mix this morning. I started looking through the various pieces of music that I had available and at the history, and I'm realizing just how influential this person has been to not only my life, but I dare say to almost everybody out there. Not, you know, glam rock, not your thing. Okay, fine. Maybe you saw the movie The Man Who Fell to Earth, which, by the way, the song you just heard, Lazarus, is a from his, he co-authored a play and wrote the music, which is now at the New York Theater Workshop. Let me tell you, it sold out the day it was pretty much announced. I cannot believe that's going to be the end of that show. It's based on Walter Tevis's novel, The Man Who Fell to Earth, but of course will be distinguished from the movie in a number of ways. Maybe you've seen some of the films his son, Duncan Jones, has made. Some of them are excellent. Curiously, they are all science fiction, but not that surprising. Oh, maybe you saw the Jim Henson movie, Labyrinth. The breadth of the work that Bowie did through the years is amazing. He said, "I'm not a rock star. I'm a storyteller. I write and create stories. I collect stories from other places and all that. And I synthesize them through writing, through music, through acting." He was on Broadway in The Elephant Man, a Tony nomination, if not a winner, I believe. And in the last few days, I began to realize, oh yeah, fashion, haircuts, clothing, things that he wore, modeled, had done for him, are just absolutely amazing. The amount of stuff that this guy has brought to our culture. So, until 3 a.m., we're just going to listen to the musical part of what he did. Stay tuned.
Yeah. my time was running wild, a million dead-end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me. I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't wanna be a richer man.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
It's gonna have to be a different man. Time may change me. Sides, but never leave the stream of warm and permanent sand. So the days float through my eyes, but still the days seem the same. And these children that you spit on as they try to change their worlds are immune to your consultations. They're quite aware of what they're going through.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't tell them to grow up out of it.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Where's the shame you've left us up to her next to them?
Time may change me.
You can't twist time. Strange fascination.
Waiting in the wings, he speaks of senseless things. His script is you and me, boy. Time, he flexes like a whore, falls wanking to the floor. His trick is you and me, boy. Other friends of mine, take your time. The sniper in the brain, regurgitating drain, incestuous and vain. The many other last names. Oh, from a watch, just as nights will it buy.
are not a victim. You just scream with boredom. You are not evicting time.
There's a little churchyard just along the way. Used to be Lambeth's finest array of tombstones, epitaphs, wreaths, flowers, all that jazz, till the war came along and someone dropped a bomb on the lot. And in this little yard there's a little old man with a little shovel in his little bitty hand. He seems to spend all his days puffing fags and digging graves. He hates the Reverend Vicar and he lives all alone in his home.
Excuse me.
Please, Mr. Grave Digger, don't feel ashamed as you dig little holes for the dead and the maimed. Please, Mr. Grave Digger, I couldn't care if you found a golden bucket full of some girl's hair and you put it in your pocket. A mother doesn't know about your sentimental joy. She thinks it's down below with the rest of her toys. A ma wouldn't understand, so I won't tell. So keep your golden locket all safely hid away in your pocket. Yes, Mr. GD, you see me every day. Standing in the same spot by a certain grave. Mary Ann was only 10, full of life and oh so gay. And I was the wicked man who took her life away. very selfish. Oh, God. No, Mr. G.D., you won't tell. And just to make sure that you keep it to yourself, I've started digging holes, my friend, and this one here's for you. Look at our graph. It's plainly this one here. Oh, listen. Don't you feel that a bit? Bloody upset.
I'm a
said the laughing gnome. Well, I gave him roasted toadstools and a glass of dandelion wine. Then I put him on a train to Eastbourne, carried his bag and gave him a fag.
Have you got a light, boy?
Yeah, where do you come from?
No man's land.
Oh, really? In the morning, when I woke up, he was sitting on the edge of my bed with his brother whose name was Fred. He brought him along to sing me a song. Oh, I'd like to hear it. Yeah, what's that clicking noise?
That's Fred. He's a
metronome. Ha, ha, ha. I'm a laughing gnome and you can't catch me. Ha, ha, ha. I'm a laughing gnome and you can't catch me. Haven't you got a gnome to go to?
No, we're
nomads. Didn't they teach you to get your hair cut at school? You look like a rolling gnome.
Yeah, not at the London School of Economics.
Now they're staying up the chimney and we're living on caviar and honey. Cos they're earning me lots of money fighting comedy pros for radio shows. It's the gnome service, of course.
I can't let is the news. According to the latest World Population Survey, figures have reached danger point, my god. London, 15,075,000. New York, 80 million. Paris, 50 million and 30. China, 1,000 million. Police and spa nuts.
My studies include exophagy. I formed my own society to crush the power of fecundity. The world will overpopulate unless you claim infertility. So who will buy a drink for me, your messiah? We are not your friends. We don't give a damn for what you're saying. We're here to live our lives. I propose to give the bill free of charge to those that feel that they are not invertible. The crops are few, the cattle gone. There's only one way to linger on. So who will buy a drink for me, your messiah? We are not your friends. We don't give a damn for what you're saying. We're here to live our lives.
Let's go, let's go. These are your orders. Anyone found guilty of consuming more than their allotted amount of air will be slaughtered and cremated.
I prepared a document legalizing mass abortion. We will turn a blind eye to infanticide. We are not your friends. We don't give a damn for what you're saying. We're here to live our lives. You don't seem to hear me clear. Do I talk above your sphere? Let me explain my project here. Show you how I'll save the world, or let it die within the year. Why do you look that way at me, your messiah? We are not your friends. We don't give a damn for what you're saying. We're here to live our lives. We are hungry men. A
heroes forever and ever. god-awful small affair to the girl with the mousy hair. But her mummy is yelling no, and her daddy has told her to go. But her friend is nowhere to be seen. Now she walks through her sunken dream to the seat with the clearest view, and she's hooked to the silver screen. But the film is a sad thing for she's lived it 10 times or more. She could spit in the eyes of fools if they ask her to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall. Take a look at the law, man, beating up the wrong guy. Oh man, wonder if you'll ever know who's in the best-selling show. Is there life on Mars? America's tortured brow that Mickey Mouse has grown up a cow. Now the workers have struck for fame, 'cause Lennon's on sale again. See the mice in their million hordes, from Ibiza to the Norfolk Broads. Rule Britannia is out of bounds to my mother, my dog and clown. But the film is a sad thing more, 'cause I wrote it 10 times or more. It's about to be writ again, as I ask you to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall. Oh man, look at those cavemen go. It's the freakiest show. Take a look at the the wrong guy. Oh man, wonder if he'll ever know who's in the best-selling show. Is there life on
got no money and I ain't got no hands. be no Major Tom's a junkie, strung out in heaven's high, hitting at all time low. Fuck it, we know.
This is WBAI, New York City, listener-sponsored, non-commercial Pacifica Radio at 99.5 FM. We have barely begun to scratch the surface of what one can achieve and do with the music of David Bowie. He went to so many different places, and he did so many different things. In so much media right now, he's again in theater, at least something that he wrote. His son continues making science fiction films. Well, mostly science fiction at any rate. They have been up to this point. He, of course, had a pretty good film career. Not every movie was brilliant, but they were all fascinating movies. Even the duds were pretty interesting. I always thought that Labyrinth was a very underrated film. Bowie's presence in the film changed the feeling of what Terry Jones, when he was writing it, was going to be doing. But I'm dealing with switching from one computer to another. We won't have time to do another entire Bowie tribute on Hour of the Wolf. Next week, my guest is going to be Carlos Hernandez. And after that, Rob Cameron with some various people. Pardon me while I try to queue up just one more song, trying to move from one machine to another. And that machine is being locked up, and I don't know why. Okay. Ah, here it goes. No, I don't want autoplay. Oh. Canceling. Thank you. Now, just give me access to my disk, would you? I would really appreciate it. Okay. There's a lot that needs to be said about the way that Bowie changed the world of, as I said earlier, fashion, movies, music, theater. He was an amazing force, and what he did for us, even if it's not your genre or feel, can never be discounted. So, thank you for listening. This has been a special edition of Hour of the Wolf. My name is Jim Freund. I'm hoping that I will get this song up in time. It's being really, really problematic. Lister, I hope that you don't mind. It's going to run about a minute and a half over, I think, because this machine is just giving me its little hourglass and being very uncooperative. And I would really like it to stop. There's a program running that I don't want to run. I'm not into Rhapsody, man. Okay. So the player is up. You can visit the Hour of the Wolf Facebook page on, Facebook. My page is just Jim Freund. We also have a New York Review of Science Fiction page. Our next event is Groundhog Day. Our next event is Groundhog. Well, you get the joke. This isn't playing. Oh, I don't know. I mean, it was certainly on BAI. It was it wasn't Steve Post's program. It wasn't Bob Fast. It was probably Gary Fried, who nighttime show, early morning show, part of EMRA, the Early Morning Radio Alliance, and he did a wonderful show called The Morning After the Night Before. And you want to talk about segues. Gary was the master of the segue. He was incredible. And he knew that, this song is going to end in, C minus. It's C minus. C major. Or C minor, and so he would pick up on that. Yeah, okay, I see what's going on this machine here. The darned antivirus software is acting up on it. So you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back.
You know what this reminds me of? The guy Zuckerberg at Facebook.
Yeah.
Over in India, he's limiting the poor people to access to the internet. Can you believe that? He says it's too expensive.
No, I think you've got that story wrong, actually.
No, that's exactly what he says he's going to be doing.
But he doesn't have that control or power.
Well, in India, they have a package that they're forcing poor people to buy that don't have sophisticated phones.
Okay, so that's access to Facebook. He's not preventing Facebook from being there.
He's a part of it, seriously.
No, he's just a content provider.
Well, he says it's too expensive.
He's a content provider. You can, if you're in India, you can access Facebook right now if you have a phone connection.
Yeah.
That's it. Bottom line.
And then he's going to limit you to what you can get.
No, he can't. It's not technologically possible. This is my profession
okay. We're
talking about.
Well, I'm definitely not misquoting him.
Okay, well, yes, but I question the source. You might not be misquoting it. The BBC? Well, I'll take a look at that and find out, because certainly it's not in any of the technology journals. For which, okay. At any rate, it's past my time, and I have to play my favorite song. So, everybody, please be good to each other. Take good care of yourselves and those who you love. I didn't mention, by the way, that WBAI lost another person, Jay Rothman, who worked here through the 70s and into the 80s, died about 3 days ago. And so this episode of Hour of the Wolf was dedicated to him. And he certainly liked his Bowie. So here we go with the definitive Bowie song. Hoping it comes up. Come on, player. It's just circling and circling. It's the quadruple T clause. These things take time. Yeah, but this is just wrong. These machines, they need help. At least, at the very least, they need rebooting every so often. And that's a problem because memory all gets congested. This is true. Uh-huh. Not responding. Dang. Okay. You know what? I may have to live. I've gone to two computers now. And I cannot. A, I won't use YouTube. It will put on ads. Okay. B, I have to log in again. And to log in, I just logged out. And to log in to my account, I have to go through double authentication and stuff like that. C, I have a copy right here. And I'm very, very annoyed that. You know, yeah, it doesn't even. I've just pulled it out of the machine, and it hasn't even registered.
That's like me proving that I'm an American citizen under the presidency of Donald Trump.
Right. So I'm going to give it one more try. Yeah, I really, really, really. This has been the thumb drive all along. Yeah. Okay, stop. Don't play that yet. Yes, no, now it seems to be responding. Ah, here we are, finally. Okay. So once again, let's pretend that it's 10 minutes ago. Gah! And this is the song. Good morning. Thank you.
ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom.
7, 6.
Commencing countdown, engines on.
3, 2.
Check ignition and may God's love be with you. This is ground control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade, and the papers want to know whose shirt you wear. Now it's time to leave the capsule if you dare. This is Major Tom to ground control. Stepping through the door, and I'm floating in a most peculiar way, and the stars look very different today. For here am I sitting in a tin can.
Mm-hmm.